Yo, what are all these boys doing in my yard? Oh, that's right. I brought them here with my milkshake. What is up, everyone? What's up and where is it happening? This is What's Up. You're listening to Cardano Citizen. Cut the music. I'm still running short on time. So hey, today's guest is Alexander Norris. Alex is the stake pool operator for NASEC, ticker NASEC. I went and found the biggest, the baddest, the most ninja-ist, samurai-ist, living danger, maniacal, evil genius stake pool operator I could possibly find. And then when he canceled, I got Alex. I'm kidding. Alex is top notch. Small stake pool. He's not one of your great big 30 split pool monolith stake pool guys. He's just got his own little thing going on there. But this guy, I only know him a little bit, but this is becoming one of my favorite guys in the community. This is one of those tell it like it is guys who may be willing to name names, taking these guys to task a little bit. And that's just the kind of guy that this guy is. But you'll get a feel for this guy, who he is, what's going on, what he's all about, what he believes in, what he thinks about Cardano and the community and the potential of all this. And you'll be able to see the actions he takes. So I could keep rambling for a bit there, but let's just get right to Alex. Hello, Alexander Norris. How's it going? And welcome to the show.
Nice to speak to you, Dallas. Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to reach out to the community or the stake pool operator community because for my own show, I just haven't interviewed many stake pool operators, or if I have talked to them, not so much about the nuts and bolts, the nitty gritty, or the community aspects of stake pool operating. And you were actually recommended to me by a friend of the show, Ken Adams. I don't know if you know him, but he knows you. I think possibly just from, like, he's deep into everyone and everybody in Cardano, right? So he's a and he himself is trying to start his own stake pool. So I know he's like in the Telegram channels and asking questions and stuff like this. I know he's doing a Raspberry Pi based stake pool he wants to make.
Yep.
So like there's like different, like, I don't know, sub niches of stake pool operators. And some people have this style and some people have that style and some people have that style. So I didn't even know that, but apparently that's a thing. And then, so yeah. I was trying to get recommendations from him, and he recommended one guy, who I'll probably reach out to as well. And then, cause I was like, yo, give me, and not to, blow too much smoke in your way, but I said, yo, give me a rock star. Give me a ninja. Cause we go hard at Cardano Citizen and I don't feel like effing around. You know what I mean? We want, give me the guy.
And he's like,
well, and he goes, well, if you want the real, like, this guy's a solid guy, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, but if you want the real ninja, this guy's a ninja here, this guy, NASEC. So your stake pool, the, what do they call that? The ticker?
The ticker.
Yeah.
The ticker.
NASEC, NASEC. And he said you were a ninja because you're a technically competent and well-to-do stake pool operator in that sense, but you're also in the Plutus Pioneers program, and you also just got included in the testnet, Alonzo Blue testnet.
Yeah, that's the one.
Which I suspect is probably a lot of the old guard of stake pool operators, with very few of the newer guys, the newer smaller guys, who maybe aren't as well established. Like, I suspect Rick McCracken is in there. Somebody, yeah, like, you know what I mean? And those are the people to be expected. And then they got you in there. You only been around for a little while.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It was like walking into, I said it during one of my videos. I said, it's like, I've started going to a school where everyone else is famous and I'm just wandering around thinking, why'd they bring me in?
Oh, I don't know how old you are, but do you remember there's this movie called The Skulls? It's like from the 2000s or something, The Skulls. It was unfortunately with that guy from Fast and Furious that died in his Porsche. And he was in it. And his dad was a judge and they all went to Yale and they were in the secret society program. And then the guy who didn't belong in the secret society program got invited.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's it. That's me in the Alonso Blue Net.
Maybe I'll be able to put some sort of clip or something from it in the show notes so people know what I'm talking about. I've also just showed everyone that I'm 100 years old and that I know the old movies from the...
Oh, no, come on. 2000s is not old movies.
Yeah, I suppose. I work with people that don't know Office Space.
Oh, wow. No, I love Office Space. Yeah. I plan on burning down a few offices in my time.
And just murdering printers for fun.
Oh, God, yeah. Fax machines, I think it was actually, wasn't it? Or was it a printer?
No, it was a printer because they had to solve the PC load letter problem. I know it off by heart, but I work with people that don't know it, and it makes me want to put my head through my desk. So, there's so many different angles we could take with stake pooling and operating, but this is more of a community people podcast. Not everyone is a huge whale with 250,000 ADA. You know what I mean? So, the price of ADA and the swings from, I don't know, like $1.40. I think it's around $1.40 today, that kind of thing, down from $1.80. That's kind of like, who cares? So my $5,000 is now $4,500. You know what I mean? Or whatever.
Yep.
And so there's an angle and an aspect of the community that maybe isn't as invested in that content, but still wants to participate. And so here we find ourselves, we're centered around Project Catalyst and emerging thoughts about on-chain governance. But what about yourself? Why did you get into, I mean, everyone kind of gets into crypto just with the speculative thing in the back of their minds, essentially. But what happened there? What's your story and how you came to be a stake pool operator in the space?
So I had never heard of Cardano about a year ago. I had never heard of Cardano, if I recall correctly. And my partner came to me. My partner in the company, NASEC, is also a private limited company in the UK.
Prior to being a stake pool, it was already established as a...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we're actually just running NASEC as a very small, very niche cybersecurity company for a lot of ISPs here in the UK, just due to our background and our profession. So we work with smaller ISPs typically. And just one day we just went out to a pub and my friend was telling me about how one of his friends, well, actually his partner's boyfriend, something along those lines, just so happens to be Agalos. And if you're not familiar, Agalos is the chief scientist of IOHK.
Oh, the Greek fella.
Indeed. And forgive me if I've slaughtered his name to all the Greeks out there.
On the end, the last name starts with a K or something like that, doesn't it?
Yes. I want to say Canopius, but that's a girl I dated. So yes, Agalos is Nikos, my partner, is in some way knowing of Agalos. I believe they've met and, you know, socialized in the past.
Okay.
And so he had his, you know, he had his finger on the pulse a bit more than me. And one day he came to me and just said, you know, the business is good. We're small, we're niche. We're not looking to take over the world anytime soon. And, you know, we do our little pen testing, etc., for these ISPs.
Mm.
But we've both got a bit more spare time. We're both interested in making money. I'm never going to claim to not be interested in making money. That was a big driver in everything. And he said, there's this thing, Cardano. And The reason that I like it is because Agalos is involved, and they're doing it based off of science, based off of real people thinking about it, rather than just rushing in and developing the latest and greatest thing, as we developers like to do.
Yeah.
So I just got fascinated and started looking into it, and I was very taken by Charles Hoskinson, and that just sort of led me to the next weekend. I said, let's go for a pint. Let's talk about what stake pools are. Why aren't we running one? Why don't we do that? Why don't we learn a bit more about this?
Yeah.
And that's really where it all started. It was pure curiosity. It was, okay, I've watched some videos from Charles Hoskinson, but it's all airy-fairy. None of it's really actually technical. What is this? What does running a Cardano stake pool actually entail?
Mm.
And it was almost an exploratory experiment to see, okay, what is this proof of stake? How does all of this tie in together? What's the server demand? What actually is needed? And so realistically, it was just pure curiosity that got me involved from the beginning.
Well, and with
I'd say it's evolved from there.
Yeah, and with a IT security background, I guess in a sense you almost had, it's almost like having the tools and stuff lying around, right?
Exactly.
You could literally put it together in not even a weekend. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Funny enough, the first server that we built our stake pool on was way overkill. I'm talking NVMe drives in a well-connected data center with great transit and fantastic CPUs and more than enough RAM at the time. And I was sat there going, we've got this box. It's just sat there. Let's just plonk a stake pool on it. Because a customer had pulled out of some hosting we'd agreed. And I said, look, we've got it for a year. It's paid for. Why not? Let's throw it on. Let's see what it is. Let's see what this is all about.
And I suppose configuring a stake pool for yourself isn't necessarily, like, for someone like me who maybe installed Red Hat 6 on a dual on a dual boot machine back when I was watching Office Space and that other movie, The Skulls. You know what I mean? Like, I tried it and then it didn't recognize my video card at the time, so I was like command lining it, and I couldn't get it hardly to work. It would be difficult, exceedingly difficult for me to set up a stake pool. But I suspect you would probably, I don't know, does it take more than a day for someone like yourself? It sounds like a business day.
So the actual build of the server, the actual networking, that was par for the course. That's literally not even hours. We're talking, you know, an hour's worth of works.
Mm-hmm.
And the architecture as well, after we understood it, read through the documentation about 12 times.
Yeah, yeah.
We, you know, once you've found the right bits to skim to, you can build all of that very swiftly. The truth is, it did actually take us 1.5 days to build the stake pool from start to finish, because the concept of blockchain was something I was unfamiliar with. Cardano is the first crypto that I've ever gotten involved with. Mm-hmm. And it was wrapping my head around the notion of, well, this is a database, but it's a database which is immutable. It cannot be changed. So if I need to update the pool's registration certificate because I just flummoxed up one of the arguments, how in the world am I going to do that? So it did actually take us quite a bit of time to register the pool. I'd say about 1.5 days all told, Saturday and Sunday. Start to finish, to get operational from, you know, ground zero.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean truly ground zero, no crypto experience at all.
That's, to me, it sounds remarkable. The a couple of questions come to mind, which I provide all my guests with, like, a list of questions ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So I don't really want to just pull too far out of left field, but a couple ideas came to mind as you were describing that. One is, what about offering, do you offer like a consultancy sort of thing as a service? Or do you have any sort of product package like that for helping people set up a stake pool? Like, it seems like a lot of people are doing it, I don't know, just out of asking other people, and the communities are very generous. But it seems like there might be an opportunity there, especially, you know, when we start talking 3, 4, 5 years in the future.
So you're absolutely right. A lot of people have come to us, and initially I spoke with my partner and we priced ourselves out of the market because
seems like a lot of time drain.
It's not, honestly, technically running a stake pool is not a lot of time when you know what you're doing. For someone, you know, it's the age old, I think it was Picasso or someone who scribbled a drawing on a napkin and said, you know, that the actual thing that you're paying me for $10,000 for this napkin for is the fact that I spent 60 years drawing and figured it out.
Yeah.
So for us, it's not a lot of time technically to run a stake pool. I am very drawn on the topic because I don't like the notion of being a stake pool operator for someone else's pool. It gives a lot of responsibility. I'm in no way interested in sullying our company's name or getting involved in lawsuits because of the theoretical possibility of the pool being hacked and someone losing their money due to any cause, even if it's not directly caused by us. You know, if there are vulnerabilities in the future, I'm scared of that notion. My tin hat is very grand. You'll come to find, I'm sure. But
nice. That's our people. That's what we like over here. We keep our tinfoil hats at the ready.
That's great to hear, because I think in this environment, in this sort of community and in crypto as a whole, it's vital too. So we priced ourselves out of the market. That said, someone approached us recently. We gave them a lowered price because my partner said, look, we're being kind of ridiculous. There are people out there, I won't name them, but they don't know what they're doing. And I know that from technical forums where my partner said, look at this. Look at what this guy is saying. Look at what he's doing. And they're as good as ripping people off. I mean, really eye gouging prices for what? Really? Yeah. So we lowered our prices to be near enough in line with them. And when people approach us, we're not ever going to actively advertise it because it's not what we want to do with the company. But we will consider looking after people's pools for them.
What about just education and maybe initial setup or something like that? You know what I mean? Rather than custodialism.
So initial setup involves creating the keys. The second that I have access to creating those keys means that
that's compromised.
It's security. Compromised. Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So I have a Discord channel or a Discord server, I believe they're called. And in that community are about 30 odd stake pools, many of which have come from just emerging within that community. And we give day-to-day help for starting a stake pool, building it, best practices, all those sorts of things for free. Just, you know, I'm not guaranteeing an SLA there, but I am giving the technical assistance. Those people are doing it for themselves, but they are getting the assistance of us as part of our way of giving back to the community.
Great. That's cool. And actually I've joined that Discord channel as I was honestly stalking you. I was like, I gotta get this guy on my show. So let me see what he's up to. It's a lot of technical stuff in there, you know, so I'm kind of like, what are you guys talking about? So that's a good resource. What do you think? And I've seen other pools in there and you guys are all friendly and stuff like that. It's interesting that the stake pool community is kind of in competition, but you're kind of all in this together. It's an interesting sort of vibe. And that leads back to our series of questions here. The response that I seem to be hearing sometimes when I hear from stake pool operators and stuff in social media is, like nobody really has any marketing experience, or they didn't really enter, stake pool operation with a, like even a business plan. They just thought it was going to be, oh, you buy a Raspberry Pi and it's easy. But then you got to, essentially it's a business that requires $2 million of capital. You know what I mean? Like I could go out and start a painting business if I knew how to paint walls, and all I need to do is buy a 1994 Dodge Caravan and a roller brush. You know what I mean? But then I'll still have no clients, right? So I need $5,000 worth of a Dodge Caravan, and a roller brush and paint. And then I need to be able to like pay my bills for 3 months while my receivables don't come in, right? That's another thing that people don't think of. You know, what about that period of business where you're not profitable?
Yep.
Or you already have jobs from the very beginning, but they're on 90 days net terms.
Right? Yeah, like, absolutely.
Obviously that happens to you. You're like, set us up a thing, we'll pay you in 6 months. Okay. And then you got to float the cost for 6 months.
That's exactly what we did, honestly. We just accepted, you know, we're going to run it for at least a year. We're going to be involved, start to get involved in the community. And if we make nothing, it was a learning experience. And that's what we boiled it down to. I think we were unknown for at least a period of August through November, maybe December, January. So all that time, like I said, we actually had a spare server lying around. So it's a bit unfair to say we had that benefit. But we certainly accepted that, you know, we were probably going to lose money, or at least the opportunity cost of not seeing a return on any ADA that we did purchase.
Yeah. And that's another thing, you know, and you know, that's a technical question we'll get into as well, but I wanted to, what do you think a pool can do to differentiate themselves, from other pools, right? Like the average, unfortunately it's set up, the whole system set up, and I can see why, as a consumer product, which is the easiest path to market and the path of least resistance, but it also ends up making it just a bunch of tiles in my wallet, right? My Daedalus wallet or my Yoroi wallet. And then it's like, oh, this one gives me, says it's going to give me 6.5, and this one says it's going to be 6.49. So I'll choose the 6.5.
Yeah. A commodity almost. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so people are complaining already of how do we differentiate ourselves in a commodity market, which is interesting. It's the first question that every business ever comes up against. Mm-hmm. Every business, you know, the one I work for daily, you know, like, oh, it's just a price race to the bottom.
Yeah.
So what do you think? You know, how have you guys done it? How do you see other successful people doing it in an idealistic world? How would they do it? All that stuff.
Yeah. So, the way that we've done it is first of all, we tried research, and the amount of time it takes me to come up with an idea, or my partner to come up with an idea and research it and then write about it. We did actually get results. It's not fair to say that we didn't get results for our research. The community gave to us, but, we didn't get lucky, and that delegation swiftly went away. So I think there's a couple of things that's needed for stake pools. One is a method of communications to your delegators. So I think that you need to keep them engaged, because otherwise you're a nameless, faceless entity that is you're a commodity. Why not go with a better paying nameless, faceless entity?
Yeah.
You know, there's no humanity there. There's no personality, you have no connection. So I think that's key. But realistically, it's just about having a niche, I think. It's about finding a way to differentiate yourself, exactly as you're saying. Our niche is cybersecurity and the technical side of operating servers and protecting yourself. It's helping us to stand out. Not only that, but I think it's actually helped my marketing that I have no interest in talking about the price of ADA.
Mm.
No interest in talking about what the future price of ADA is going to be, beyond the notion of how important the price is for if you're starting a pool and you need to get together some capital for some pledge. So I think my calm persona sort of differentiates us from all the crazy, wacky people out there who are pointing at graphs, drawing lines and going, it's going up, it's going down.
Yeah, because my RSI indicator, the same indicator that everyone's looking at, is essentially a magic Harry Potter wand that tells me the future.
Exactly. We don't have a crystal ball. I will never purport to having a crystal ball. And we like to joke around in the Discord channel about how we're looking forward to the day that it's $32 because some YouTuber said that once. So,
oh, nice.
Will it be rich?
I'm looking forward to the day that it's 32 cents so I can triple up.
Yeah, you and me both.
Everyone wants it to go higher and I think they're all idiots. Like, what are you talking about?
No, I agree.
I got orders in, you know, much lower.
Yeah, exactly.
Pick me up way lower. But so that's brought up pledge a couple different times. And I guess I do have a bit of a notion myself of the importance of pledge, but not from a technical standpoint and not from someone who's in the game. So why don't we go into pledge 101 a little bit and let people know. Because maybe somebody also might listen to this one day and then be like, well, what should I be looking for in a pool? You know, a guy with 25K pledge versus 2K pledge versus 200,000 pledge or something to that effect. On the same hand, you know, a guy with only the ability to come up with 25K pledge might still be a super badass pool operator. He just doesn't happen to be a Lamborghini owner.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a really hard question to answer because I don't like the answer to it.
But is it the right answer or is it just?
Oh, absolutely. So the trouble is you want someone with as much pledge as possible.
Okay.
And what that means is with the price of ADA today, realistically, it's really nice if someone can put together 3 million ADA of pledge. And the reason for that is because the more pledge you put together, the more rewards you'll actually get over any other pool with less pledge if you have the same amount of total delegation.
Oh, maybe really?
Maybe I should go into sort of the difference between delegation and pledge. So
yeah,
I both pledge and delegate to my pool. So delegation is when an outsider is saying, you know, not the pool operator, but including the pool operator, potentially using a wallet outside of the pool and saying, look, I will delegate to this pool.
So me.
Sorry, go on.
So that's me. I'm a delegator. Yes, exactly. My aid is pledged or delegated to a pool.
Exactly.
Okay.
Whereas pledge is a little more locked in. It's linked to a wallet that, and that wallet is registered on the blockchain as being the wallet providing the pledge for that pool.
Oh.
So it's the same thing in terms of ADA. You know, one ADA of pledge is the same one ADA of delegation. However, it's very identifiable as the wallet owned by the pool operator, pool owner. So there is a parameter within the rewards algorithm, and that takes into account both delegation and it also takes into account pledge separately as something called A0 or A0, which is considered to be more valuable, and you will receive more rewards as a pool if you have a higher pledge than that of, you know, if you have one ADA pledge and 99 ADA delegation versus 99 ADA pledge and one ADA of delegation, mm-hmm. Both pools have 100 ADA total, but mm-hmm. the pool with 99 pledge will actually get paid out more. Very simplified terms, but
yeah,
that's the gist.
It's just weighted. Exactly. It's weighted differently. I had no idea that that was the case.
Yes, that makes it even more difficult because if you're small, you're now having to justify that, okay, I'm not a millionaire. I didn't buy ADA when it was a penny. Yeah. And I'm not a millionaire today who can go and drop £1 million on ADA as startup capital for my business. Mm-hmm. So you have to justify even more as to why people should delegate to your pool.
And while being small, I know the first argument I've ever heard was with the 340 and the ROI, you know, mm-hmm. 340 ADA off a $2 million pool is nothing. 340 ADA off a $100,000 pool is more than
nothing. Significantly. It's more like 20% these days, which is huge. You know, the more blocks that you mint, the more you dilute that 340 ADA minimum fixed fee. Mm-hmm. And it hurts small pool operators greatly.
That interesting. So, I know a lot of the argument for solutions has been along the lines of, well, they should change the 340 requirement and stuff like this. And mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm kind of split on it in the sense that this is supposed to be a real business, but I don't want people also that the barrier to entry shouldn't hurt people such as yourself who are legit pros, right? Versus mm-hmm. people like me that if I just hooked it up on my laptop here, I'm an idiot and and I probably shouldn't be doing it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I agree with that.
Actually. But if I happen to have, because I was an early adopter into Bitcoin or maybe an early Ethereum guy or something like that, I happen to have something. And then I think, yeah. Oh, well, I can just make money like this and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I don't know. So what are you guys in the community? What are you talking about as solutions for that? Where obviously that's a huge question. I'm sure you can do multiple talks and episodes about that just by itself.
Exactly. I mean, this is highly, highly debated. Probably the most requested thing from the small pools that I interact with every day.
Yeah.
Now, the truth is, after you hit 1.5 million ADA, you are making one block per epoch, which means that you as a pool operator are going to get that 340 ADA almost guaranteed every epoch, which is every 5 days.
Okay.
So what that means is actually you're receiving about a third to a quarter, depending on your variable fixed variable fee that you charge, of the total amount all the way to saturation. So it's a really big, lumpy, hefty sum. And with the value of ADA being so high today, it's probably too high. I've heard discussions about that being reduced, just simply flat out reduced, but keeping a fixed fee. Mm-hmm. And I've also heard discussions of small pool operators saying they'd like that to be also a variable fee or a fixed percentage, something along those lines, so that they are not more expensive to delegate to than a bigger pool, which at the moment they are. That's the honest truth of the matter. And the same goes for NASEC. We are more expensive than if you were to go delegate to one of the big guys.
Yeah.
And that hurts. That really does, because they're already winning the battle, aren't they?
Yeah. And we're trying to, you know, at the head of the fish, the narrative is we're trying to build something that runs counter to the dominant culture mm-hmm. of, you know, rampant consumerism and ridiculous.
Winners winning.
Yeah. And, you know, and yet the architecture of what we've built in practice isn't really that counter.
Yeah. So nothing's going to happen within the next 3 months. That's for certain. Because Alonso, Gauguin, those are the key things that IOHK, IOG are focused on.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we know for a fact nothing's going to happen within the next 3 months.
Yeah.
After that, there's talks of completely reworking the rewards algorithm. And that's also in an attempt to stop pool splitters, who are stake pool operators who have been very successful. And rather than being content with operating a single pool, their greed gets the better of them and they split and open a second one because it's more profitable to have more stake pools.
Yeah, and I mean, if they're making money off the first one, then they're also building the hell out of their pledge.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean,
the next pledge comes free.
I would do it too. At some point, personally, I might, because I'm just a dude, I might, all right, I've got 8 pools, I'm fine. But Binance's of the world and stuff like that, they're never going to not do that.
No, but I actually don't dislike the Binances of the world as much as I dislike the personalities and the individuals who are operating. I actually see Binance and Kraken and eToro as actually providing some sort of useful application. I know it's not a very, it's not actually useful in terms of the world, but it is useful to be able to get fiat money out of your crypto if you need to, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that there is, they are so successful with their 30, 40, 50 pools of fully that are all fully saturated.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I do believe it will change when there are other pools related to applications out there, but I don't like it or dislike it as much as I dislike other pool splitters.
Interesting. Someday I'm going to have to work my show in such a way that this is a safe space to talk as much shit as possible and call people out by name. I understand you don't want to do that, but just know in the back of your head that Cardano Citizen has those ambitions.
That's good.
We want to be the spot. So we go hard at Cardano.
I am absolutely outspoken in the community. I've actually been calling these people out whenever they've been purporting to be, assisting these smaller pools. And that they sit on Twitter and they say, no matter how much we do, we're always looked at as greedy. And you look at them and you say, yeah, because you've split your pool 8 times. If you just said to your delegators, look, I've got one pool. Let's create a diverse ecosystem where my voice isn't 8 times louder than everyone else. I'd love it if you go and support list 7 pools here.
Yeah.
You know, people that I care about in the community that aren't doing quite as well as myself. Then, you know, those would be the heroes of my Cardano experience. That would be fantastic. And that's what I aim to do one of these days. I have no intention of splitting my pool. Maybe I'm too lazy. I don't want to start another one. I just simply want to advertise people that I think are doing good for the world after that.
Well, you know, at some point, and that's why when I was writing these questions, I thought of it as a digital neighborhood, but that's because in the back of just my own personal world, I'm kind of learning about neighborhoods and communities and community building, call it the old school way. I've had the author that inspires me in that space on the show. His name is Peter Block, so I've been researching his other materials and stuff like that. And, that's what made me think of, stake pools as a digital neighborhood where it is a community, right? It is.
Yeah.
It is a thing of versus just the dominant consumer culture of let's get as much out of this game as we can and squeeze every last drop out of it and more production and more production, more production. And I don't know, I guess if someone's successful, I don't like to throw a yoke around their neck because they're successful.
No, absolutely not. I hope to be successful one day.
Yeah, right. Like I wouldn't want a yoke thrown around my neck if I was so successful and I'd been around since 2017 with no payoff for 3 years, 4 years. And then now we're in a bull run and people want to delegate to my pool. I'm like, okay. And splitting it once or twice or three or four times or something like that. If I'm a massive thing. Yeah. You know, and quit my job and not have to like, dude, I'm coming off I'm coming off almost a very close to 60-hour work week. You know what I mean? With days off. And here I am 7 a.m. on a Sunday in my time, interviewing a dude. I'm a little bit tired, but I got like energy drinks in the fridge and stuff. But, you know, so I thought to myself as I was like, prepping for the interview, because when you do podcasts and stuff, you kind of run the interview through your mind. What am I going to ask this dude? And blah, blah, blah. And I thought, if I was a stake pool operator, and who knows, you know, in a couple of years when I'm less of an idiot or something, or if I've made some sort of connections where I can land a whale, because I know in a sense nowadays, it's kind of about landing whales. But anyway, you know, then I would have my pool personally. I would have it set up. I mean, it would be obviously Team Cardano Citizen. It would be,
a good brand,
And also, what do we want to build together? That's already my show tagline, right? What do we want to build together? There's different ways to like take the profitability of a pool. You know, yes. I could have a 2% pool where everyone else is 1%, but with the understanding that, that other percent goes into some sort of account or wallet or something like that. And through our communication channels, like you're talking about, we might literally decide to set up, you know, not like outside of Project Catalyst funding and all this, you know, here's some, SpaceX internet satellites for WADA in Africa. There, I just solved your guys's, internet problem. You're welcome. Cardano Citizen did that. You know what I mean? We can do stuff like that. And it's literally just Cardano Citizen operating independently or NASEC or whomever, right? Versus, and that's what I would do if I had eight pools. I would be greedy like that. You know what I mean? If I got eight pools and I can buy eight satellites a month, well, I can buy 10 satellites a month if I have 10 pools.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Exactly. And still not have my 60-hour a week job where I got to, you know, visit construction sites and work my brain out. Yeah. Right? Like,
it's very true. And to be honest with you, we're starting to see that emerge. And that's what I mean by I don't dislike Binance. You know, their pools exist because they're doing something for Cardano.
Yeah.
And I've also seen, for example, recently, SundaeSwap, who are supposed to be a decentralized exchange.
I've heard the name.
Yeah. So they're a big project. And the way that they're launching and providing some funding for themselves is they're starting a stake pool. Okay. And the fees that go or come out of running that stake pool will be going towards the development of that decentralized exchange, which is pretty much exactly what you were talking about, I think.
Mm.
You know, building a project off of the pools. And I like that idea as well. I actually could definitely see that being the future of stake pools, where they're not just individuals shilling for Cardano, as people say, or, you know, they're not just, well, maybe content creators will hang about, but they're not just charities. They're people really doing something for Cardano as an ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
I could definitely see that being the case in the future.
And because of that structure, it lends itself to the initial stages of Gogan. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be natural with the communication channels already built out-ish in a stake pool that interacts with its people, you know, to say, absolutely, hey man, you know, we're doing the 340 pledge vote You know our stance on this. We've talked about it. We've done this little survey, and we published it on Google Docs and blah, blah, blah. Like we all know that, Team NASEC feels like this about, the 340, and we've done our own social media about it, and we've done our YouTube about it, and we were on Cardano Citizen. We visited him again and did it. And then, and it becomes the news center.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. I mean, you're spot on also about the notion of Alonso changing things in smart contracts, because at the end of the day, in the future, and it has been designed this way already, it will be possible to operate a lot of the functions of a Cardano stake pool through a smart contract. It's already been designed for the future with that capability in mind.
How so? Or can you elaborate with the idea that you're talking to someone who doesn't understand what you're saying?
Yeah, well, don't worry. I struggled to wrap my head around this. I had a fantastic call with a few of the stake pool operators and a man named George. I forget his last name. He's in our Discord channel. He's one of the Plutus pioneers.
Okay.
And he's a Canadian who was interested in the idea of potentially running a Cardano stake pool and building a smart contract that's capable of acting as the pledge and acting as sort of a voting mechanism to say, you know, we want to operate this smart pool with this percentage of fee, and then it will be updated through the smart contract. It had limitations that I was just trying to wrap my head around with the other stake pool operators. Obviously, it's not possible to do this yet, but in the future, IOHK has designed it so that these smart contracts are capable of literally running entire stake pools. And again, I see that as one of the future ways that people will come together and form groups that can be more trusted to store their pledge in a Plutus smart contract that, you know, it enables people as a group to, who perhaps don't know one another, to form stake pools.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird.
And then rewards will be split among them by triggering an action of the smart contract.
As predetermined by the code of the smart contract. Interesting. Exactly. I hadn't considered that was a possibility.
Yeah. I had considered it, but I hadn't realized that IOHK had designed it from the start to work that way.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So another question quickly came to mind while you were talking there. Your pledge isn't locked in from the beginning. If you come up as an operator and you come up with another 100 grand at some point, you can just add that to your pledge, can't you?
Absolutely correct.
And it's always sort
of you can also withdraw it, as people have done.
Oh, that's a little bit. Well, I guess, I mean, it is what it is. Sometimes you need funds, right? But
so true.
Yeah, that's a little bit. It's like, oh yeah, this is a $2 million pledge. Oh, just kidding. It's
yes.
$400,000.
Yes. So the Cardano Foundation, which is one of the three companies that are sort of the founders of Cardano as a whole, they have fallen foul of stake pools meeting their requirements for 15 million ADAs worth of delegation for 3 months. And what these naughtier pools do is, you know, they have their set of requirements, the Cardano Foundation, but then these mischievous pools will do things like withdraw all of their pledge and crank up the variable fees so that they're taking as much money as possible and milking the system as much as possible. And typically it's the other stake pool operators out there who look into these things and point out to the foundation and say, guys, what's up with this?
I heard of one instance of someone that cranked their thing up to 99%.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I didn't look up the pool name and stuff like that. I knew it wasn't going to be mine. But on the same hand, it did make me realize, like, I don't have, you know, you're not supposed to talk about how much ADA you have. Hey, man.
Yes.
I own two old vehicles. I live in my own house with a mortgage payment. I'm not an early adopter of crypto. You know, I had to come up with cash that I was willing to burn in a fire.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So you might imagine I'm comfortable with saying I have much less than 10,000 Canadian dollars in mm-hmm. ADA. You know what I'm saying? Like
absolutely.
It's small is what it is. I can't light $10,000 on fire.
No, and yeah.
It's capital that I got to take out of operation. You know, even if I have the ability to come up with 10 grand, I got to take that out of operation in order to do it. You know what I mean? Like
100%, Dallas. I mean, I'm in the same boat here. I'm trying to buy a house at the moment and my pledge is looking awfully juicy right now.
Yeah. Aren't you in London?
No, I left London because
you're in London time.
I wouldn't be buying a house. I'd be buying a studio flat. That's
what I'm saying. You're supposed to come up with probably 2 million if you're going to buy something in London, right?
Exactly. If you want a house in London, yeah, absolutely. You know, and the rest. So I'm down in Portsmouth, which is much more reasonable. But when I was investing in Cardano, it was a matter of, look, I'm going to be looking at potentially a smaller house if I want to invest more. Yeah. So, you know, this has to be money that can burn at the end of the day.
Or if I, again, you know, because I didn't have any experience with crypto like you, my very first crypto purchase was $15. You know what I mean? Just because I got to like figure out these wallets and stuff, right? Or am I going to send this address to digital Nirvana and it just doesn't exist anymore? You know what I mean?
I was terrified the whole time when I was starting to move money around. And when I started moving it around on the command line, doing transactions on Cardano via the command line is a very clunky affair. And I was telling my partner, because he was putting in the 500 ADA for the stake pool registration. I said to him, don't worry, man, whatever the case, if we lost this, I'll make sure that you're covered.
Yeah, no doubt. You got to cover someone for $500 with ADA. I picture it like, again, like in the movies where, you know, he's like, do I cut the blue wire? Do I cut the green wire? And it's like a ticking clock and it goes beep, beep, beep. And you get it at 1 second and you're like, oh, it didn't explode in my face. Okay, good.
Yeah, the only worst part about it is that it continues ticking for up to 20 seconds after you've cut the wire and you don't know the result because you only get a block up once every 20 seconds.
So you're just waiting for an explosion.
You got it right. It'll keep ticking.
Yeah, it's even worse. You know, I had a... That's actually an interesting transition to my next question I've been sitting on because when I was writing questions, it's like, yo, what happens if a stake pool operator dies? You know what I mean? Like, what if you get hit by a bus? Like, literally, you step out of your house today, and I hope to not curse you, but you know what I mean? Like, you get murdered by a bus, and you're just dead, pasted in the street, and it's over. What happens? Mm-hmm. What happens to the stake pool? Does someone just, you know what I mean? Like, it's
a very, very legitimate question. And the answer is 9 times out of 10, probably 99 times in 100, that pool is going to die slowly.
Mm-hmm.
The way that will die is we have something called KES keys, which is key evolving signature keys here in Cardano. And those are keys that need to be renewed every 90 days for a Cardano stake pool to remain capable of producing blocks.
Oh.
So what's going to happen is that, assuming that you haven't made prior arrangements, your stake pool's KES keys will expire
mm-hmm.
and your pool will simply cease to produce blocks, even if you have 64 million ADA in it.
Hmm.
So it will sit there dormant. It will still be registered. It will never get unregistered. It will have 64 million ADA in it, theoretically, however much. But I should imagine your delegators will get wise lickety split when they realize, hold on, I'm not getting rewards anymore. This pool's broken.
Interesting. So it functions like a dead man switch, I guess. But unfortunately, it doesn't turn the pool off. It's another reason to have a communication channel set up in some way that's like, oh, by the way. Yeah. Or because I also thought, like, what if somebody wanted to retire? What if something messed up happened? You needed that capital. It's the same as being hit by a bus.
Well, it's not actually, funny enough. So you're absolutely right. Retirement is the actual spot on phrase. A stake pool can retire. And what retirement of a stake pool is it's an update of your registration certificate. Registration? Yes, registration certificate. To state that simply come, I believe it's two epochs in the future, the pool will have retired. And as delegate or all the delegates of that pool should move their delegation elsewhere. So there is a formal mechanism in place to retire. And that formal mechanism also has the benefit of granting you back the initial 500 ADA that you invested to start the pool.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. So retirement is absolutely considered. And also being hit by a bus is also going to turn off your pool, but in a less elegant fashion.
As appropriate. Because you got hit by a bus.
Yeah, unfortunately so. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking or looking ahead here to these questions. Obviously, and this happens every time, I come up with 20 questions and we talk about three of them. but it's kind of by design. We're rounding around towards the end of the show kind of thing here. And I usually like to end on a sort of visionary potential based questions and stuff. But before that, I wanted to make sure I addressed a little bit, because I knew you were a security guy, and now talking to you, I know about a little bit about the caliber of that. In a general sense, though, what is the sort of main security issue with running a stake pool? Because I, you know, for me, I know it's, you know, am I going to just plaster my my passwords and stuff everywhere? If I kind of don't do that, then people probably aren't going to get my ADA, right?
Yeah. So, like, I have a nightmare scenario in mind. I hope it never comes to be, because
is this a tinfoil hat nightmare?
Yeah, this is a tinfoil hat nightmare.
Nice. I'm going to come up with like a sound. I'm going to insert a sound chimes or something like that. I'm going to have to go find something in here.
Doodle-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Shaping it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, no.
I didn't do it.
There is a nightmare scenario.
Okay.
Forgetting DDoSes and things like that. That's meaningless in the long term of Cardano. But if... So a Cardano state pool, and I'm going to get a little technical here, unfortunately, but a Cardano state pool must operate open TCP ports to the internet.
Okay.
And in security best practices, typically you see this sort of thing as websites. Websites are mostly available to the entire internet.
Port 80 or something like that, right?
Exactly. Port 80, port 443. Mm. There's your access to the world granted. And Cardano stake pools can operate on any TCP port. That doesn't matter. Mm. But the relays for Cardano stake pools are publicly documented on the blockchain.
Okay.
This is for the sake of the future of peer-to-peer for Cardano. So it's a requirement, and it's a requirement, therefore, for that port that is publicly documented, very simply, to be available.
Hmm.
Now, the horror, if there is ever a horror, and I hope that it's not even theoretically possible, but I think it might be, is that there is a vulnerability in the network protocol which allows remote code execution and is able to grant things such as reverse shells via the Cardano node's port that it opens on these servers.
On the relays?
on the relays and therefore also into the producers, wherever you'd like it.
Mm.
Now, you can't just steal all the funds. That's not how it works. But you could absolutely launch a well-organized attack of some description to simply shut down the entire network all at once if you were able to get full remote code execution and root privileges on all of the nodes somehow, or a vast majority of them. It would be truly a nightmare because the entire chain could theoretically come to a halt.
So let me try to put that, because I feel like I almost understand what you're talking about. There's an open port on the relay mm-hmm. nodes. It has to be.
Yep. Exactly.
So theoretically, you're not saying it's possible, but that if it was theoretically possible, that someone could get into this port, remote execute a shell to yep. operate from. And then
with root privileges, potentially.
Therefore, once they even have the shell, they can at least start working towards root privileges.
Indeed.
Right. Is my understanding of it. Right. Then you start.
Yeah.
That's when you do your pen testing, right? You do your pen testing at that point. And you're like, okay, so what's on this? Now that I got this shell, what can I get here? But even if they get the shell, that's bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's not good.
So you get the shell, you start pen testing, boom, somehow you get root. And then at root, you can start installing whatever, probably. I mean, you own it at that point.
Yep.
And then if that's a known exploit on that machine, then it's probably a known exploit on all machines like that. Now, there might be a slightly different architecture that other machines are different, but it's the same node software, so probably not.
The binaries would all be the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly all be the same, unless a recent release has come out and, you know, there's people halfway through patching. It's theoretically possible.
And then
they're all the same.
Yeah, it would be essentially the same and probably not different enough to stop someone who's capable of doing that in the first place.
Possibly not. You know, the release might be the fix of that issue.
I see. But, and then, now would that take... They'd have to compromise all the nodes, though, or over 50% of the nodes, or how would that work?
That's where my knowledge of crypto starts becoming a little wonky. Mm. I've read that if 50% of the blocks for an epoch, which is a five-day period, are not produced, then the blockchain itself will fail, as I understand it, in proof of stake. How accurate that is, take that with a large grain of salt and a pinch of salt, and please do your own research. If anyone's listening to this, forgive me, but that's what I have gathered.
Hmm. Interesting. So, I mean,
so that's my nightmare.
That's the nightmare scenario, and that's a good one. That's a good nightmare scenario. But in general, like when I was trying to brainstorm questions, I thought, well, maybe DDoS attacks are kind of like the general problem, because your aid is basically secure, right?
Yeah.
The people are going to get my ADA because I screw up and give them my password or something like that in general.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's 99 times out of 100. It's either going to be an update to the Cardano binaries that screws something up and makes it possible to, you know, move ADA around or produce ADA that's not yours, something along those lines. That's a possibility. You know, IOHK making a mistake, as has happened to other cryptocurrencies. I forget the name, but one cryptocurrency went to zero within 24 hours of some code update they released.
Mm.
That's why IOHK is being so careful about smart contracts.
Yeah, no doubt. People like to complain about slowness, but if ADA went to zero in 24 hours, then people would be jumping out windows. The guy with eight stake pools would have to go back to his job.
Yeah,
whomever that is, I honestly don't know. So, in case I'm insulting him, I don't know who you are. I'm insulting anonymously or whatever, anonymously.
Yeah, I'm with you. It would be unpleasant.
I'm not going back to my job. Damn it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it went to Ada. Okay. So that's a good section around that. What do you think about the future of stake pools? I mean, obviously, we've been talking about it a little bit. I see them playing a role in governance, probably, honestly, the main role in governance. But
yeah, certainly.
Big picture, so, grand vision, what would you like to see in an ideal world? Take off your tinfoil hat and put on your unicorn rainbow hat and have an ice cream.
Even my unicorn hat's tinfoil horns glued to my forehead. But,
no, we need to put away the, you know, the Illuminati's not watching. We're able to do whatever we can. The vaccine works. The moon is real. It's not a hologram.
I would like for... I'd like to get rid of all the splitters. I'd love IOHK to come up with an algorithm that makes it such that there's no more splitters at all.
You really hate it that much, eh?
Yeah, that breaks my heart. You know, I want 1,000 different individuals running the network, maybe 2,000. But, you know, let's keep it smallish to save on electricity, on energy. But let's keep it diverse. So it's not just 1,000 dudes who, just like me. So I'd like it to diversify in that way.
Mm.
And I'd like stake pools to be, what do I want from a stake pool? I'm not sure is the honest truth. Diversity is the first thing. I can't seem to get my head past, but I think that in the future there'll be businesses built around goals, much like you described earlier. You know, they'll have visions for what they want. I hope they are visionaries themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the profits get driven into projects that produce benefits for communities. And I do see, as you've described it, I do see the delegates as community members, not as customers. I hate the term customer for any delegates or anyone who's delegating to a pool. They're not customers. I'm not charging them anything. They're getting something from me. And in return, you know, maybe I'm making content in general, but I wouldn't say I'm doing it directly for them as a customer of the pool.
And customers, so customers have privileges too, right? Like, you know, it becomes a privilege rather than a participation, right? If I'm a exactly. customer, you know, I'm a customer at McDonald's or whatever. I'm a customer of my gas company.
Yeah.
You know, my pool, I don't really interact with my pool or anything like that. They don't interact with anybody. But if I was a customer, I am a customer. It's a zero interaction, zero concern. Which is great, I guess. I just want to park my Ada somewhere. So there's a spot for that too, right? I mean, people who choose not to really care. But for those of us that want to care, you know, we might want to move our Ada somewhere else or something.
That's right. I actually had a whale join the pool recently.
Oh, you landed one.
About 1.85 million Ada.
Nice.
And this person reached out to me and... They said that, you know, they'd like a bit of my time. And when we got into it, I realized how much I was valuing my time at and how much this whale wanted from me. And I invited them to leave because I said, you know, I'll be honest, I'm doing what I can for the community, dedicating so much of my time just to you as an individual. You know, I'd be working a 32-hour work week if I was... for just running the pool, if I was doing this for enough whales to saturate my pool.
Hmm.
And that's a second day job.
Yeah.
And it's not really helping the community widely. It's just helping these 8-10 people. So I didn't see it that was too much of a customer to me. That was someone who saw me as a commodity. And,
They were purchasing your services and they got so much money. Exactly. It doesn't matter. You know, 1.85 million ADA isn't a big deal to them and they're buying something for their privilege. which again, and, I guess if I had $2 million, I'd probably be like that. But
yeah, absolutely. And the individual wanted nothing unreasonable. They wanted to learn about blockchain. They wanted, you know, tutoring and understanding and assistance. But you know, we have to make decisions about our time in life, and time is limited. My time especially so, because I'm waking up in the middle of the night doing pen tests and God knows what else.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a hard decision, but honestly, it's you know, I don't like the idea of the people who are delegating to us being our customers. I much prefer having a community. You know, you're here, we can interact together, we can chat. You know, I'm very active on Discord. Mm-hmm. I'll chat with anyone about anything, and I'll share my honest, open thoughts about anything you want to ask me about.
Names? Wear a tinfoil hat? Name names? Okay, you don't have to name names.
So yeah, no, I like it. I like the community members that I've got. They are mostly stateful operators and tech people and critical thinkers. I'd like to think. I'm just terrified that we're an echo chamber, just like all the other places.
Oh, little bubble.
I don't think so yet.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the thought that comes to mind, and maybe I'll wrap up on this. I probably should. We're running a tiny bit long or whatever. But Peter Block, again, Peter was one of my main inspirations for the angle I wanted to take with this podcast. He talks about the leadership role in a possibly decentralized way, or a community healthy way, that's not just a professional service that's purchased. The role of a leader is of a convener, you know, not so much, you know, like a politician is actually a, you know, a professional, you know, and then we look to him and say, okay, mm-hmm. solve this for us. Now solve this for us. Now solve that for us. And that's a broken system. It obviously doesn't work. So in the alternative, he's saying, is the leader as convener. They convene a conglomerate of people together. And, you know, that's why he was stoked to be on my podcast and was happy to, be a guest and hear me out, is because he says, I'm doing that function, right? I'm creating this little gathering mm-hmm. place for a couple hundred people to listen to the show. You know, you're creating this gathering place for a couple hundred people to do stake pool stuff. You know what I mean? And that's the leadership function, right? That's healthy. We don't actually tell people what to do. We don't have all your solutions. You know, we're facilitating, the coming together of the crowd so that as a crowd, we can decide what matters. What do we want to build together?
Absolutely. I love it.
Bang.
That's what I want an XX community to be. That's for sure.
See, it's taken 15 episodes for me to start to figure out how to wrap up a show. So, I don't know if there's anything you want to plug other than, obviously delegating to your pool, if you have a couple million ADA lying around. And,
yeah, well, heck, I actually prefer the small delegates. So
I suppose,
if you've got couple hundred ADA, that's great.
Just laying
please
around.
Consider delegating to NASEC.
And NASEC too, I haven't participated. I don't participate in Discord much other than like just direct messages. But the NASEC Discord server is active, and knowledgeable people. If I wanted to learn about setting up a stake pool, I would be going to Ken Adams probably, because me and him talk a lot, but he doesn't know, he knows a bit, but he would just redirect me and I would just go to NASEC anyways. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where I would.
NASEC's Discord is the best place on the internet to learn how to be a good stake pool operator.
Competent and then good. And then you might even have a tiny bit of morality rub off on you. And you might even have a tiny bit of, tinfoil hat rub off on you. So if you're into tinfoil hat, and you go hard, then this is a place to be. So obviously we plug that. That seems to be the best place to get a hold of you. I suppose NASEC is also a business, but I don't know if you want to so much plug the website or anything like that, but maybe.
No, NASEC's really formed with, old companies that we've already worked with, large internet service providers here in the UK, TalkTalk, etc. If anyone's interested in cybersecurity services, penetration testing, etc., do feel free to get in touch. But I have a feeling that we're a bit too niche for the majority of people. There's not that many internet service providers around.
No, for sure. Yeah. So we'll have those in the show notes. I like to close with another tagline that I always try to do. We look forward to your success. Thank you for being on the show, and we look forward to seeing your success.
I like that.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Okay, guys, that was it. This is Cardano Citizen. This is what's up, and this is where it was going down. Check out Alex's show notes, any of his social media that I have linked up in there. Consider searching out NASEC, Stakepool, NASEC, Stakepool. See if it's the right fit for you. Check out the NASEC Discord. It's one of my favorite, probably my top three main Discords that I follow for Cardano, and just reach out to him there. He's available. So check him out. Thanks for staying with us here at Cardano Citizen while real life kind of takes its toll on my energy and my schedule. I've had a few people reach out to me to check and see if I'm still making episodes. We do have episodes. We've got episodes recorded and sitting there waiting for me to edit them. We still have people scheduled. I've got two episodes sitting in the tank, including Sydney Vollmer from the Cardano Foundation. He's their marketing guy. He should be up next. So stay tuned for that kind of thing. We're still doing things over here. This is still where it's happening. Cardano Citizen out.